Well, we're looking tonight at the what I've given as a heading is creating a new standard. There are new standards in our life. You see, we started out on the Christian life having turned our backs on our old life. A life which was lived to the standards of the world which we knew of as a non-Christian. We were living by the standards of the world. We weren't living by God's standards. But you know, the world's standards will not do in God's sight. In fact, the standards of the world fall far short. So far short that in no way, if we live up to all the standards of the world, can God accept us as his children. In fact, he even goes further. And he has to condemn us as sinners to eternal punishment. Matthew Henry, in his commentary, makes this comment, which I think is very important. He says, "No attribute of God is more dreadful to sinners than his holiness." God is holy. And how can a sinner, a person who is contaminated and filthy, in the filthy rags of sin, come into the very presence of Almighty God? If we dared come into the presence of Almighty God, even if we couldn't, we could, we would be completely destroyed. God's glory, God's holiness would completely, for want of a better term, squash us. We could not stand before a holy God. We are guilty sinners in his sight. But you know, so many people, and even some who call themselves by the name of Christian, do not accept this. They continue to defend themselves before God, citing their own so-called good works. They believe these good works will save them. We often say, do we not, that such and such a person, he or she, hasn't a leg to stand on. When somebody's putting up a lame excuse, they've done something or they failed to do something, and we've challenged them on it, and they come up with a very, very feeble excuse, a poor explanation of, and try to defend themselves. They can't give a satisfactory reason why they haven't or have done it. And we say they haven't a leg to stand on. They haven't a leg to stand on. And as sinners, we have no excuse. Before God, we have no leg to stand on. Paul very clearly points this out to us in his first chapter of this letter to Romans. If you'd like to turn to it, it's on page 793. And this is what Paul writes to the Roman Christians there in that great city. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. He says this, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse." Look at the opening verse of the next chapter, chapter 2 and verse 1. "You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things." Now that's exactly our position before God. Paul tells us that very clearly that all the world is guilty before a holy God. Nobody has a leg to stand on. We are all guilty. Just turn over the page again and turn to Romans chapter 3 and verse 19. He says this: Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth will be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. Nobody in the world, and that includes you and it includes me, has any excuse. We're all guilty before God. The psalmist in Psalm 130 says this: If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? And God knows us through and through, doesn't he? And does our Lord keep a record of our sins? We're not told, but he knows, and he knows all things. Therefore, he knows our relationship to himself. And then the psalmist again in Psalm 143 says this: For no one living is righteous. Now just think of that for a moment. Think of all the millions of people down the ages. Think of the millions of people in the world today. No one, no person of the world is righteous. No one living, says the psalmist. No one living, says God's word, is righteous. What does this mean? It means that in the presence of God, we have no standing. We can't stand before a holy God. We are guilty, guilty sinners. Therefore, we are condemned, justly condemned. And it's because of our sin that we've lost one of the greatest blessings in life, our acceptance by God. This then is our problem. We are guilty sinners. God declares us unrighteous. Therefore, we are guilty before him. As the holy God, he can only condemn us. He can only condemn us. There's no escape. As men and women of the world, we are condemned. There is no escape. Or is there? Is there a way of escape? That's what we're looking at tonight. The Bible and our theologians use this word justification. Justification. When we turn to God's word, we see that there is an answer to our problem of our standing before God. And the Bible uses this word, justification. It's used so often, isn't it, in our Christian vocabulary. Over and over again we hear this word, justification. What does it mean? Let's look at a number of passages of Scripture which may help us. Turn right to the back in your Bibles to the opening books, to Exodus and chapter 23 and verse 7, page 57 in the Church Bible. Exodus 23 and verse 7, page 57. This is what our Lord says through Moses to the children of Israel. Have nothing to do with force, with a false charge. And do not put an innocent or honest person to death, For I will not acquit the guilty. I will not acquit the guilty. The New King James Version puts it like this. I will not justify the guilty. All who are sinners, God will not acquit. God will not justify. God will not pronounce innocent and set free anyone who has dealt falsely, anyone who has become or is a sinner. Turn through to the New Testament, to Luke and chapter 16 and the 15th verse, here on page 739 in the Church Bible. Luke 16 and verse 15, page 739. Here is our Lord speaking, and he's speaking to the religious leaders of his day, and he says this: You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of men, but God knows your hearts. What is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight. Men are ready and want to justify themselves in the eyes of men. But God knows their hearts. And God knows that there is sin there in their lives. We declare ourselves innocent when all the time we are forgetting that God knows. God knows our guilt. God knows that he's got to condemn us. Now turn on to Romans chapter 2. Those opening chapters again of Romans, and this on page 794, Romans chapter 2 and verse 13. This is what the Holy Spirit says to the Roman church through Paul. For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. And we could substitute that word righteous for with the word justified. Now, we might hear the law. We might read all about God's law. We might know the law. In fact, we could know the law off by heart. But unless we obey the law, unless we obey God's word and become doers, can we be justified? Can we be declared innocent? We see from these passages that the word has to do with the verdict, do we not, of a judge. We are being judged by God. And as a man and woman of the world, we are judged as being guilty because we have violated the law. The law has a claim against us because we've violated it in some way. If the law has no such claim against us, we are declared just. That is to say, we are justified. Justification relates to our standing in the eyes of the law. Our character. And we often think, well, that person is a person of good character. Surely they are of good standing. But it only comes into consideration in a very remote and secondary way. If a man breaks the law, he becomes liable to its penalty. And it doesn't matter how good his character is. If he's broken the law, he's guilty. He might be a very upright and a very good person. But if he's broken the law, he's guilty. A very upright and a very good person might be driving his car and he breaks the speed limit. He's guilty. He's guilty of breaking the law. His character as such doesn't come into it. And so the legal verdict is that he is condemned. He's broken the law. He's liable to its penalty. And the guilty pay the penalty. But once the person has paid the penalty, or the fine, whichever it might be, or the imprisonment, once he's paid it, he has completely met the claims of the law. The law has no longer any claim upon him by the way of penalties. That means he is a justified man. He's broken the law, he's paid the penalty, and now he's justified in the eyes of the law. So how can a sinner be justified? How could a sinner be justified? Let us apply this, what we've just been talking about, this question of our standing before the law, to our relationship to God's holy law. Paul very clearly tells us, does he not? And we all know this very familiar verse there in Romans chapter 3 and verse 2. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all fall short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter who we are. We have fallen short of God's glory. We are under the penalties of a broken law. Now, how can we handle this? How can we handle it? Can we manage it by making a very great effort on our part to turn over a new leaf? To make our lives better? To be a better person? To be a more kind and considerate person? To be a person who perhaps is coming to church regularly and loving our fellow men and our neighbours and our church folk? Turning over a new leaf? Can we meet this difficulty by resolving to keep God's law as he set it out in the Bible? Of course we will find that we will fall far short. Far short. Paul says there in Romans 3 and verse 2, he says this, therefore no one will be declared righteous in his or God's sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. We can't be declared righteous by observing the law. In fact, what that law does is to show us very clearly that we've broken it. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16, you can turn to it, I'll just read it to you. This is what Paul says to the Galatian church. Know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too, having put our faith in Jesus Christ, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law. Because by observing the law, no one will be justified. So it's no use turning over a new leaf. It's no good trying to be a better person. Trying to put God's law into action in our lives. Very clearly, God's word tells us, by observing the law, no one will be justified. The Bible couldn't be clearer, can it? It plainly teaches that we cannot obtain justification by the works of the law. Because justification is God's gift. If we cannot earn a new standing before God, we must receive it in some other way. And this other way, the Bible tells us, is by a gift. Turn again to Romans chapter 3, this time to verse 24. Here Paul says to us, or the Holy Spirit, through Paul, we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. We are justified by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Justified freely means we receive a free gift. We receive this gift by faith. This is made very clearly to us, isn't it, in Romans chapter 3. This time look at verse 26 of Romans chapter 3. He did this to demonstrate at this present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Slightly different to what you've got in the NIV. I've just quoted it there in the New King James Version. Two chapters further on, in the passage that we read earlier on in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, Paul says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have a new standing ground. A new standard is coming into our lives, and it is in Christ Jesus. Look again at those three verses that I've just quoted. Where do they direct our faith? They direct our faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the work that Christ has done for us that provides the ground on which the sinner can be declared free from the law. Romans 5 and verse 9 says this, since we have now been justified by his blood. That word blood here stands for the death, the crucifixion, the giving of himself, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ there upon the cross. Listen to what Paul says in Galatians 3 and verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says this, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The righteousness. You see, it's all in Christ. What Christ has done for us. Our Lord's saving work. The work of Christ in saving us gives us a new standing ground by reason of what he's done in taking our guilt upon himself, making the requirements of the broken law and bearing its penalties in his own heart and life. He has secured for us a new position in relationship to that law. Apart from Christ, we stand before the judge of all the earth, condemned as a prisoner to the dock. What our Saviour did was to put himself in our place. We have seen that when a fine is paid or an imprisonment is undergone, the person concerned is completely discharged from the claim of the law that he has broken. Jesus met that claim for us, that penalty on the cross. For the sinner, the price has been paid. It has been paid for the Lord Jesus Christ's sacrifice there for us on Calvary's tree. and we reap the benefits of Christ's work. And it's summed up for us in this New Testament word, justification. Justification. Let's just have a little simple look at its definition for a moment. Let us try to define for ourselves what we mean by this great word in our Christian faith, so far as the relationship of God and the sinner is concerned. Justification might be regarded as, and here I quote the principal of the very first principal of the London Bible College, who was my pastor at one time, Dr. E.F. Kevin. He says this: a judicial act of God in which he declares on the basis of the righteousness of Jesus Christ that all the claims of the law are now satisfied with respect to the sinner. The Lord Jesus Christ has paid the price of your sin and my sin. Paul says in 1 Corinthians and in chapter 6, he was describing the sins of that great and evil city of Corinth. And he says this: and that is what some of you were. But now you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God. This means we have a new standing before God, a new standing ground. All the condemnation has gone. And there's absolutely nothing against us anymore. We've been washed clean of our sin. When we repent of that sin and put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to Acts chapter 13 and verse 39, page 779 in our Bibles. Acts 13 and verse 39. Here we read this: through him, that's through Jesus, everyone who believes is justified from everything you could not be justified from by the law of Moses. By our faith in Jesus Christ, when we believe on his name, when we accept him as Saviour and as Lord, those things which could not justify us through the law are justified through Christ. Justification is a once for all. Our justification admits us into the privileges of restored relationships with God. Justification is more than just mere forgiveness, for we may be forgiven by God in his goodness again and again. We may find forgiveness as often as we need it and seek it. Justification is a kind of one-for-all act by which God has been pleased to receive us in the merits of the Saviour. This is the strong ground under our feet. It cannot be shaken. As a sinner, we are saved by God's grace. We are saved by God's grace. Of course, we must not presume upon the fact that we are continually being forgiven by God and continue in our sin. God forbid, says Paul. But we may be assured that however much we stumble and however much we fall through our weakness, our position with Christ is secure. The opening verse of Edward Mote's wonderful hymn sums this all up for us. He writes this in this hymn: my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. In a moment, we're going to close with another wonderful hymn. It very clearly sums up for us this justification. not the labours of my hands, can fulfil thy law's demands? Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears for ever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. As I said, we're now going to sing that hymn. Can you sing that hymn from your heart? Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Is that where you stand tonight? Have you put your faith? Have you committed your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know him as Saviour and as Lord? If you have, then you are justified by faith. And as you cling to his cross for your salvation, you have been washed clean from the guilt of sin, and you are acceptable to the holy God. May the Lord bless each one of us, and that be our testimony tonight.